doble.
Creator for this music. Good, 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 good evening from Jamaica. This is your number one Nine Star General from out of the bushy part of Jamaica, from the farming community of St. Elizabeth. Southern St. Elizabeth, Southeast St. Elizabeth. Please catch the accent. You know, for those who are linguists, do you know that there are about 53 different types of accent in St. Elizabeth alone? Yes, for those of you who are studying English and linguistic studies, there are about 53 different strains of patois in St. Elizabeth, especially the southern part. Different syntax. Are you talking about syntax? You know, every time I start the show, I normally do a poem. And so, tonight, the poem that we are going to look at, it is called Cuban bulb, Cuban light bulb. This poem was written just a few years ago by the name of the poem. You should have an understanding why it is called Cuban light bulb. Let's go back to the year of 2009, 2010. We wrote this poem called Cuban light bulb. Now ready? Are you ready for it? Here we go. Cuban light bulb. Rocky Point Clarendon, walking by the fishing beach. The first time I saw you, I lost my eloquent speech. Your hair glow like the rainbow. Your earlobes are walking jewelry store. When I looked in your eyes, I was mesmerized, hypnotized by your deep-rooted bulging dollar signs. And the lust for the bling, the way your hips swing, ting-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, 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 ting-ting-ting-ting-ting-ting-ting-ting. Your motion was slippery like Vaseline. Hoist a tent over my adrenaline. Let my scrotum and I start to sing. I saw heaven right here on earth. Should I play? Should I flirt? Should I just throw my love life on dirt? Or let my passion rule over hurt? I thought she liked me. I thought she wanted me. But she left me like a Cuban bulb. And I am dying to get her hug, 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 hug. Hotel Versailles, Clarendon. You tied me with your fishing net. Got my emotional red and wet saliva dripping like sweat, discovery be, puff be, run away be. Man a man no gay. Inflation rising, blood pumping, Vono symphony swinging, radiator boiling, rooster crowing, tabby cat purring, meow, tires screeching. Then stop, power cut, new pants, socks are short, hairy chest and beer gut. There you were, armed with your Razor digital camera, aimed at my high John the Conqueror, and your excessive demand for $1 million, or else you can boss it on me baby mother. I thought she liked me. I thought she want me. But she left me like a Cuban light bulb, and I am dying to get her. Hug. Lovers leap, St. Elizabeth. Here I stand, wet from showers of cold sweat, looking over the edge. My teeth them knock on an edge. What love got to do with it? Should I just kick the bucket? I feel like Sean Kingston. I need some positivity in my wisdom. How did I end up in her bed? Was I ruled by the wrong head? No, my woman packed her things and gone, and my life feel like Jackass Khan. It was just lust and stupidity that lead to bankruptcy and nudity. I thought she liked me. I thought she want me. But she left me like a Cuban light bulb. And me dying. Forget back me woman love. Yeah, man. So that was the Cuban light bulb. Because sometimes you need a little bulb in your life to make your life shine. Yeah, man. Your life have to shine some way, sometime. Now, see, ladies and plenty men, that I am going solo. I might be going solo. I haven't heard from my friend Cherry as yet. But you know that one monkey don't stop no show. No, I'm not calling her a monkey. What should I say? One diva don't stop no show. But I hope somewhere within the 2 hours, Miss Cherry will join in. Now, if you look at the poem I read, Cuban light bulb. And one of the problems that I find that taking place in Jamaica, and a lot of women complain from it, men complain too, it's called cat's call. Cat, yes, cat's call. Cat as in puss. Well, I don't know if it's puss or pussy cat, but it is called cat's call. And some of you is wondering, what the hell is general talking about? But again, most people didn't know it have a name, but it's called cat's call. What cat's call mean is sometime a man or a woman, yes, because men get it too, walking along the road, and a man see a nice woman and say, yo, sister, how your head just straight like a light post? I wish I could have hugged you up like the electric wire and bind you down in my light bill and show you some other skill. The man at the time feel that lyrics for the young girl. But deep down in her heart, she is under the shower of fear because as far as she could feel, she cannot walk in peace. And a lot of lovely ladies out there, especially in the Jamaican scenario, especially in the real urban scenario. And I'm going to make a distinction between ghetto urban and maybe Milltown and uptown urban. So let me talk about the ghetto urban. Now, you see the ghetto urban, that socialization in the ghetto urban is a total different situation. Because when bad man call a woman, you know, woman a fiance and say, yo, come in at this. Me a pray, you know, come in at this. Guess what? Gangster call you. So you know, so you have to say, yeah, hi, hello. Yo, come check me later, no? And you say, look pan him too. Look pan him too. Man look like a cross between a giraffe and a zebra. I want me to come check him later. But guess what? Sometimes you know your life depends on it. And as far as he concerned, he wants the best girl. And he believed that you should give in. So one of that thing that we have in Jamaica, you might hear on the radio, Millicent, 14-year-old, that's normally the age. 14-year-old, 15, 16-year-old Millicent is missing from 13 Conroe Drive, Kingston 13. And when you check it out, I seen in mother Senegana country, you know. Because anything can happen. Because bad man want her. Now that is a dangerous kind of cat call. But you know what happened? Before we go into the part two of cat call, you know, so we have to drop a little tune, you know, for night out the place, because I've noticed that with Cherry around and sometimes the argument gets so nice, we need to get to playing on tune, you know?
Seems like I've been down this road before, but I'm not in the mood to take it anymore. I've been crushed down, pounded out. I've been in the rut, but I've found my way out. Makes no sense to sacrifice for love, cause the smile you give don't never ever glow. Ooh, love never.
I know.
good love never come easy. Big tune, big tune. From an artist called Abla Kaba. Yeah, we have pushed out some nice artists. My thing with CRS Radio, I will play a new tune, hitting tune, tune that make you think, tune that resonate in your cranium, you know, because we have to keep a certain liberty and positivity in our music. So, you know, go here, we play on scammer tune, you know, scammer your mama. We now play them kind of tune there. I feel about people and retired people. You know, you have some youths at Jamaica make phone call. Hello, hello, you are a winner. You're a winner. The Kentucky Lottery. People, as you talk about that, I'm going to go back in the cat card, you know. But I'm going to tell you that even me have my encounter with a scammer. Yes, one day I was at work. My dear people, and my phone ring. And this man say, oh, hello, hello, in a Cockney accent. Because when I look at the number, it was from England. And the man started to say, you know, that you have a relative near Rudolph Smith, and you are a winner of 2 Rolls Royce that he so happened to leave for you because you are some cousin. So I said, Rolls Royce? Because something never clicking on me. But when I look back on the number, me see it's like a English number, you know, the European number of the ones. In Jamaica, they have the 01144. So I see it was an English number. And this bloke don't know that I'm a little familiar with England as well. Blow him, your bloody old chap. So I tell you, the man start to tell me about me, how me go get the car, the 2 car them. And I'm saying, bloke, I cannot be related to any Smith. Because the poor thing don't know that Smith is the most popular surname in the entire world. So I am trying to tell him that I am not related to any Smith. I must say, yes, man, you're related. I say, I cannot be related to Smith because my name is Fong. So the man said, what? I say, yes, I am Fong. So he said, Fong? So I say, yes, because I am a Jamaican Chinese. And he's like, I say, Jamaican Chinese? Eh? So Mr. Chin, I say, look, man, no. Don't call me Mr. Chin, none at all. My name is not Chin. My name is Fong. Fong, F-O-N-G, Fong. So it's like, if I say, Wong, me say, didn't I told you that I'm not Ching or Wong? I am Fong. F-O-N-G, Fong. So the man go make the mistake and tell me that I was S-U-C-K, me M-A-D-D-A. Well, let me tell you something. I was not in the best of mood. So, you know, I was at work in my office, you know. And what I quietly do is I walk out of the office with my phone, I mean, and, you know, just to reach in the garage, you know. Because you know that me have to go deep in the garment factory. And I am one person and afraid for dick up in the garment factory, you know. Go under the sewing machine and take out the Negro and thread. And I start to thread the Negro. And then I start to run the Negro through the piece of cloth. And I asked him to run the needle between the two pieces of cloth. I said, you know, that you are such a fool because you don't know that I am in Lewisham, in London. And I pick up your location in London. You see, I belong to the Chinese Secret Service. And right now we have a submarine station off the coast of Finland where we are watching certain movements against the Russian. So presently I have got your location and I have an SSAR missile that gonna hit you like any drone in the next 48 seconds. So just look through your window where you are and you better dive for cover. And my man hung up the phone for me, right, because me tell him about the missile and that me is a master of espionage. I never tell him about the Bruce Lee part, you know, right? Because I don't know people in a different generation of people don't know about Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan. All they know about is Ninja Turtles. So I didn't tell him part. But let me go back to the cat call and let me see if I have a caller that is going to call Super Cat right now. Yow, 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 yow.
Hello.
Who goes there?
This is Gary Whitaker, a listener to your program.
Yeah. Who goes there? Sweet like. Nice like.
Yes,
met
sir.
The bitch with part of the extract of rum, cane from whether Westmoreland or Long Pond or Holland, Appleton, St. Elizabeth. The great Sugar. What a going, Mr.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for having me. I'm in Los Angeles, California.
Wow, wow. You know, my co-host is somewhere lost, somewhere between Hawaii and California, and I don't know if she's back in Florida because she spent her life following storms and disasters. Yes. Yes. Last week I was really asking her about climate change. I have a cousin who is somewhere in the desert part of California. And, she's alive because she didn't get flooded out. What is your experience there over the past few days?
Okay, so last week we had this hurricane that that came through the region. Well, where I live, I only got some rain, no real wind, but I hear some places were flooded out, and there were some mudslides.
Yes, I heard that, yeah.
But my neighborhood, my area, was relatively unscathed.
Yeah, all right. It only goes to show
how much the whole global weather pattern systems are changing, because we don't normally get not only hurricanes or storms like that, but that much rainfall this time of year. Our rainfall is usually in the wintertime, not summertime, not that heavy.
Well, coming into September, next 2 days September, most of the storm that I can recall in Jamaica, hurricanes, normally happen between the first 2 weeks of September. Especially when it come around to September 11th, because September 11th is known for Gilbert, 1988. By the way, where were you in Gilbert. Were you in Jamaica or were you overseas?
Yes, sir. I had just come back to Jamaica from living in the States, and I got caught up in Gilbert. I experienced it firsthand. Yes, I did.
And when you say firsthand,
it was quite a story.
Did you lose anything? Or?
No. My house is built like a bomb shelter, you know, slab roof, wall house. But I tell you, the next morning when you got up and looked outside, I live right above the Sangster International Airport, that neighborhood on the hillside.
Right.
And normally it's heavily vegetated, a lot of trees, canopy, you know, just green all over the hill. After the storm, you looked out at the hill and it was like a nuclear bomb. Everything was defoliated. There was no leaves on the trees. It was eerie. I mean, every single tree lost its leaves. And you could see all the way through the hillside, all the way up. You saw structures up on top that you didn't even know existed before, you know, before the storm, right? It was quite a sight to see.
Well, Gilbert, catch me at Monroe College. I'm not going to give it a joke. Monroe College is the highest point on the Santa Cruz Mountain. And Monroe tend to have a lot of willow trees. Most of the trees, I think, the farmer principal then, Richard Roper, got them from England. Because Monroe, like Cornwall College and Knox College, and most of the traditional schools coming into the 60s, the 70s, going into the 80s, have a lot of overseas teachers that used to come.
Right.
Hamilton School.
Right.
That so we had a nice forest, several forests of willow trees and coniferous forests. And I can tell you, I saw those trees dance. Now, this is at the top of the mountain, you know. De La Move was not the movement in those times. But I saw those trees dance, peeping out through a window. And this is at the top of the mountain. But the scary thing about Gilbert that I can recall is that the morning when the storm cooled down, we find the cover of a house in a tank.
You mean the roof? The roof
of a house in a tank. And this is the highest point of the mountain. So it means that the wind took that roof from some low point.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Yes. And carried it up to the mountain, yes. And deposited it into the tank. At Monroe, there are about three large tanks because the tanks are used for the boarders. At that time, I think it had about 300 boarders at Monroe. I think it's down to about 200 or 100 boarders now. And the roof of a house was deposited in the tank. It was like a mystery.
Wow.
It was like a mystery, yes. You know, one of the reasons why because we live on a small island. I live on a small island. You live on a continent. And there are some similarities, but there are some disparities in how we see the hurricanes and the storm. And as you say, in the California era, well, as far as I'm concerned, what I know that is famous in California is earthquakes.
And you know, it's funny you should say that, because that same morning we had this storm come through. It was raining outside, and there was actually a minor earthquake. I mean, it did move me on the bed. I was lying on the bed, and the bed did move. The house did shake. And it's recorded. It's in the news. It's recorded that there was an earthquake just north of me, a place named Ventura County. They registered a minor earthquake that we felt across Los Angeles County. It was quite interesting that we had a storm and an earthquake at the same time.
I have never been to California yet, but I remember you're supposed to have some fault line cover. The San Andreas Fault, somewhere around that side, no?
Yeah. San Andreas Fault line is a major fault line. No, that fault line has not erupted. Well, it has not done its damage just yet, but we have numerous mini fault lines. One of them, I live in the San Fernando Valley, a suburb of Los Angeles. It's a major city, second largest city in the United States, with a metro area of close to 9 million, I would imagine. But I live in a suburb called Chatsworth, which is next to another suburb called Northridge, where there's a big university that I used to work at. And at the time, I was just studying at the university. I was doing a master's in geography. No, a master's in public administration, as a matter of fact. This was 1994, and the university was about 3 miles from my house in Northridge, and I lived in a neighboring city at the time called Van Nuys. And the morning, I remember the morning, it was Martin Luther King's birthday holiday, which would be about January 19th. I can't remember. I think it's 19th. In the dark of the morning, I hear this rumbling sound, like a train in the distance. And it's getting louder and louder and louder. And all of a sudden, it hits. Boom! Everything is up in the air. The whole building is shaking, terribly shaking, violently. That was the start of the famous or infamous, well-publicized Northridge earthquake. It said to be 6.9, but at one point they had that 7-point-something. But whatever it was tremendous. I mean, I'd never been in an earthquake before, and that experience, I mean, it will be with me forever. I mean, in a very significant way, meaning that it has into my psyche, into my mind, Mother Nature's power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And respect for Mother Nature, if not in awe of Mother Nature.
Yeah. You know, my only experience of earthquake, that we have one or two in Jamaica here, we hear that it go up to what? 4 point something on the Richter scale, or about 5 point. It's like for about 2 weeks, every time I go into the bathroom and sit on the throne, there's an earthquake. It always catch me. And the throne, and I am wondering if I am the cause for it or not.
You probably could be the cause, yes. I mean, you're like God's child, right? So
yes,
who
yes.
To tell you have that power.
So. Yeah. But you know, I'm watching this whole situation, you know, because I felt that there was a time when we could do something about climatic change, but I cannot say we did not have the political will, because at that time it was Donald Trump who the world was turning to do something or to change a trend that they see coming, and he just didn't believe in it, that there's something called climatic change. And you see, when you're from a small nation, and when you go to like the United Nations to discuss matters from the like these, and when you have the world leader, the so-called world leader, right there, who don't understand what you are saying and do not see the effect of climatic change, I don't really care about it, because as far as they're concerned, I think it's just a myth, and it's just over the past few months, there are certain realities that are hitting us that have never happened before. because now when I look at the heat, right now I am in my living room, and I hope the ladies are not using their imagination, but I'm in my living room in my shorts alone because the night is so hot and I am at a cool spot in St. Elizabeth. I used to live in San Diego.
What altitude do you live at?
I live, I'm about 150 feet above sea level right now.
Okay.
I'm on like an escarpment. I'm about 2 or 3 miles away from the sea.
Okay.
Because I'm South Coast, I am on the same ridge that Lover's Leap is on. And Lover's Leap is...
Southfield? Yeah, Southfield.
Yes, Junction, right. Lover's Leap is at Southfield, and that escarpment is 1,200 feet above sea level.
You know, we both went there. We had our geography field trip at the University of the West Indies, remember?
Yes.
We went through all of that area.
Yes. I let my listeners feel that I'm a bright person, you know. Yeah, you talk about university.
You are a brilliant man. I mean, the listeners need to know that you're a graduate of the University of the West Indies, Mona. That's where we met. That's where we, you know, we shared a common interest in geography.
You know, and as I say, is that it is so hot. And when I used to live in Santa Cruz, because I used to live in Santa Cruz, now, Santa Cruz, Black River, Maypen, and Savlamar are seen as the four hottest places in Jamaica. And if I know if I was in Santa Cruz right now, I'd be walking around in the house naked.
I hear you. And I hear the heat is very, very, more than oppressive. It could be even deadly.
Yeah, it is deadly. I'm going to tell you how deadly the heat is. Friday, I was working in Black River. And I came home around 5. And I remember I sat down and ate my dinner. I don't remember anything from eating my dinner. I sat around the dining table. I came around 5. But I remember, I don't know how I reached into my bed, but I remember in my bed, in a sleep like a coma, and the phone rang, and what was so wrong with the phone call is that it was a video camera kind of call. And when I open my eyes, it's a police woman I see on my phone screen, and I'm wondering, what the hell have I done? That's a police woman is on my phone screen, and the kind of uniform she was in. I said, well, I don't remember killing anybody or knocking down anybody. But you know, when you're just coming out of deep sleep, you're kind of semi-fool.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what she did, she called me and asking me about some crime that she heard about. Her father is a neighbor of mine, and it's like she just heard about it and decided to call me if we can tell her what went on. And I was talking to her, and she said, well, you don't sound too righteous. And I said, yes, I don't sound too righteous. And she said, all right, she's going to hang up the phone. You know, when I look on the clock, it was 7:45 in the night. I thought it was Saturday morning.
Disoriented.
And the heat, it sort of removed the energy from you. Like some days when I go to work, if I sit down at my desk more than 5 minutes, I literally drop asleep.
Mm-hmm. So they don't have air conditioning in these places, right?
Air conditioning or not, right? You see, what the Prime Minister need to do is to build a big fan over Jamaica, right? Get it powered by the same solar energy, and just build a big hell of a fan.
yes,
for prolong the prayers. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
and it,
really,
be good for, it could not be good for farmers' livestock.
No.
Either.
No. I give you the joke. We had Franklin. This is a hurricane that is somewhere. I don't know where it is now. I haven't been tracking it. I'm more focused on the one that is near to Florida. Now I have touched Florida. Franklin was near to Hispaniola. So we had rain up to 3 days ago. And that rain cooled on the place so much that my grass and my lawn grew up to my ankle in about 3 days. I had to get the lawnmower person to come and cut the grass this morning. So it moved from a patch existence where the grass was yellow and cow and goat will have to wear eyeglass to make the grass green. And in 3 days, the grass grew to up to my ankle.
Well, and it's the same effect we had out here with that hurricane that passed through. Because we are a semi-desert here in Southern California. And, I mean, that one day of heavy rainfall turned everything green with the grass coming back lush. I mean, my gardener, my friend of mine who helps me with my lawn, he was very amazed at how my backyard became so green so quickly.
Right. In my backyard, no, right now, I didn't want to talk. I have what is known as guinea grass. I don't know how many Jamaicans living abroad remember what guinea grass look like. Guinea grass is grass that come up to like up to my shoulder. You can use it for feed cow. What we use guinea grass in Sensibel for is mulching. Like other places, we would cut the grass. The farmer said, no, don't cut it because we're going to need it. And it's so expensive. It is like about $15,000 for a pickup of grass in this era. Because farmers need it. Because what they do, the process mulching is that they cut the grass and put it over the plants like tomato and so on, and it retain and hold the moisture. So especially in time of drought, this is how they retain the moisture.
Yeah, that's the work of our good friend, the agricultural geographer, Dr. Barker.
Right. Oh, by the way, you know that he passed away. I don't know he passed away in the COVID period, you know.
Yes, you told me. Rest in peace, Dr. Barker.
Good guy.
Come from England. Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, very cool guy, you know.
Very nice guy. And where was he living in Jamaica? Kingston?
Kingston.
Okay.
He's one of those.
So. Go
real
ahead.
Roots
Sorry.
Man, you know.
Oh, yeah, he was down to earth. He was really down to earth. He was a real Jamaican. He was a transplant, but a real Jamaican. Did he have, do you know if he had a family here in Jamaica?
I suspect that he married to a Jamaican. I used to look for him one or two times, but to tell you the truth, sometimes he was so excited talking to me about music. That's when I went to our family.
You
music,
know,
yes?
When I went back to UWE to visit once, around 2010, I think it was, I ran into him at the geography offices, the geography faculty offices. First thing he said to me was, you were the band leader at Creative Arts Center. You had a rock band, you know.
Right.
Like, you remember all that, Dr. Barker? I said, yeah, I remember you. Yeah. So that was kind of heartwarming. It was touching for him to remember all that.
Yeah, man. Whenever I go up there, I have to carry music for him and talk to him about music. Yeah, yeah. He never want to hear about anything else.
You mean up to UWE or
yes.
Just to Kingston?
Whether
so
I go
he
to
was
UWE,
at UWE up to what year?
I think, I'm not sure if he retired, you know, but up to when we have COVID, 2019, he was in and around. Still, he would have reached retirement age, but you know that they will need his expertise.
Right.
So
he was still helping. He was helping out.
Right. Yeah. So, but I am amazed with what is happening, because like this hurricane didn't come from the coast of West Africa, the one that is touching Florida right now. It just come out of the Gulf of Mexico.
It erupted in the Gulf of Mexico. We have had a few of those, you know. We have had a few of those that slam into Belize and Nicaragua. Yeah, we've had a few of them. Not many, but we've had a few of them that erupt in the Western Caribbean Sea and briefly, you know, exist and then slam into the coast. I think we have to really be proactive. The government of Jamaica needs to be proactive with managing the environment in general and managing for climate change in particular. And I don't know how much the local government entities, the parish councils, are doing anything along that line proactive.
You know, yesterday, you mentioned it, yesterday I was invited to a meeting of such where we were with a Mr. I don't know if you're familiar with the name. He's from Montego Bay. A Mr. Hay. I think he used to teach at Cornwall College. Right?
No, I can't say I do know him, but I have cousins that lived with me in Montego Bay whose last name is Hay. So I had to smile to myself right now.
We were discussing how to run an emergency, to create an emergency center across the parishes, right? We are all the agents. So what happened? All the agency met yesterday, like the police, the fire, the poor relief, those in charge of roads, the hospital, Red Cross, all the important agencies we met yesterday. And we were looking into it. And, you know, I hit them with a bomb. And one guy who is very political got up and challenged me. Because I say to him that my problem with Montego Bay, Savlamar, Lucy, Port Morant, Port Antonio, Port Maria, Ocho Rios, nearly all of these capitals are on the seashore. For example, the parish council building in St. Elizabeth is less than 80 meters from the sea. So if there's a tsunami or a plate, the shifting of plate, the center where the management of disaster will be wiped out in few seconds. Right? So I was saying that what the first step that the government have to look at is to create in each parish, not one disaster center, but two. One in mountain areas and one in the flat areas. Mm-hmm. Because in the mountain, you might have phenomena like landslides. And on the flat land, you might have flooding.
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying that. But the Prime Minister said that we are 80% ready. So the presenter said that, no, what you do, you look at the figure 80, and you turn around the numbers around 0.8.
8% right. Ready. 8%.
Yes. Right. And he's saying, but the Prime Minister. So he said to the young politician, do you think any head of any agency gonna tell the Prime Minister that they're not ready? He said, think about
not
that.
If they want to, if yeah, not if they want to keep the job. Mm.
Right? If you are the head of an agency, you're going to tell the Prime Minister, say, you're not ready? Then you know that it's like a post, he's going to get natizic and get mad. How do you mean that you're not ready? And we give you resources, and you didn't ask for more resources. That's what's going to happen. One of the things I mentioned in the forum is communication. And they didn't consider this. I said to them, look, we have two main telephone companies in Jamaica, Digicel and Flow. What happened when the storm come and knocked down everything? All of the light posts. Because we are in a process putting in fiber optic cable, but we are still third world. It's not every nook and cranny have fiber optic cable. It's just some select towns might have fiber optic cable.
And the vast areas of the rural areas won't have access, yeah.
Right. I was saying to them that what the parish council should do is get satellite radios. I mean satellite television. Telephones. Because when I go on Amazon, I see a satellite telephone on an average price of say 150,000 Jamaican. And I'm saying that the parish council is making revenue. So each of the 15 councillors give them a satellite phone. Because guess what? My iPhone, our top brand Samsung phone, costs nearly the same anyway. Because some of these phones nearly cost all $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So invest in the satellite phone so that if a hurricane comes, the council, the elected person, can start by making phone calls without have to worry about towers being down or up.
That is a very good suggestion.
And secondly, when they were saying what the CEO was saying, it's very expensive. I said no. Consider another thing: CB radio, because in the 70s and 80s, CB radio was a good fad, but it was good. It have died out now. But I say resurrect it, because I say one CB radio I see on Amazon is about $100. So there's a big difference between the $100 and the $1,000. So if a counselor...
Are they also... Getting the communication equipment is important. It's vital. But are they also running or have the personnel, identified personnel in place? Evacuation strategies, I would imagine they would have policies. But do they have the personnel in place? Do they have the places of safety, shelter in place? Do they have contingencies for the roads? Because the problem is, you can communicate by all these technologies, satellite phones, which is important, but help. I'm in the middle of the mountaintop, stranded. What do they have? Helicopter system? my feeling is this, that we need proper local government reform.
Yes.
Because if we had, let's say, this whole Republican push for republicanism or republic.
Constitutional change.
One of the perspectives that I think is being discussed effectively, if at all, is the idea of local government reform, because they talk about separation of power, which is having a president and all that good stuff. But there's another dimension, another perspective, another angle to local government reform. And that angle is division of power, which is a horizontal idea. So if separation of power is vertical, the king to the bottom, the ordinary people, division of power is giving power to the people themselves in the local government apparatus or structure. Parishes need to be able to depend on themselves, be more self-reliant in certain areas of local governance rather than relying on Kingston.
True.
For Because if Kingston gets cut off from the rest of Jamaica for whatever reason, are they self-sustaining within their own zone? Do they have the resources,
you see,
within their own zone?
Our politicians act as if Kingston in Jamaica. I tell people that I have not been to Kingston since 2019, since COVID. And what I do, I try to find out how I can survive in my little bush with a little network of people that I have, any supply that I want, of anything. Once in Jamaica, it was hard to ignore Kingston. But now, we are having different nodes of development happening across the country. For example, Santa Cruz was said as the fastest growing town in Jamaica. Now, I think Junction is next in line. Right? Because
the dilemma that we have, how many hospitals do they have in St. Louis?
One.
Okay,
and
fine.
And that's the problem,
But here's the other point.
We have a large contingency of returning residents, and they are having tizzic because they are used to the American or the English kind of health system. And they sometimes they don't want to die here. They love here, but they don't want to die here because they are scared of the health system. So the question that you asked about the hospital is extremely relevant.
Well, I have an added perspective. Granted, it's very expensive to build a hospital and maintain a hospital, right? But there is another aspect of healthcare that can be addressed by local government, but is not being addressed because we don't have the resources. One of the things that I've heard is that, for example, police cars are lying around unused because they need to be repaired. They are in disrepair. They are broken. I would suggest that the same could also hold for ambulances. The point is, one of the things that local government should be looking at doing as a service is making sure that we have effective ambulance service to and from hospitals over properly maintained roads.
I didn't want you to bring up the ambulances. And I hope you never mention it, but you mention it. You know, the sad part about this, my brother, is that there are a lot of groups from out of Florida, Los Angeles, Jamaicans, that go and purchase ambulances, or even second-hand ambulances, so they want to give back to their town and villages. Or let's say you might have a health center in Malvern, for example, and you say, all right, the Malvern people over in America, we buy two ambulances. You know what's the problem, Sugar? The problem is the bureaucracy to clear the ambulances that is given is so steep. It's steeper than Blue Mountain. So where you have several ambulances sitting on the wharf for 2-3 years and cannot be cleared.
This is where the parish councils,
yes,
as
would come in.
Local government entities need to flex their muscle. They need to be able to have representation to the minister of local government, to the parliamentarian in the parish. Forceful as the mayor, as the councillors coming together at their council meeting and making these declarations known in the media that we are petitioning to have these released to the parish councils. Release the vehicles to the parish councils in conjunction with the communities that are donating them. More so, the parish councils need to coordinate how these things are run. You can't just leave it up to private individuals to decide. It has to be streamlined. The whole process has to be streamlined, where we know that these things are coming to serve communities under the auspices of the under the guidance, the heading of the councils. But there needs to be a system, a schedule. For example, centers or stations set up. If not health centers with ambulances run 24/7, then de facto, what? No, I'm going to use a simpler word. Makeshift or I don't want to say temporary, but not temporary, but rather some kind of put together facility in the different strategically positioned, you know, using geography, looking at the map of your parish or the map. You know, I like the regional thing, the counties, but I won't touch that right now. Using the map of the parish, and you set up strategic location for these ambulances, where the parish council should be able to coordinate. There should be no more than 20 minutes to a health center or hospital from where you are, where you have timed service, right?
That could be one function that
local government does, making sure people have access, quick access, and that these ambulances are maintained in a parish approved mechanic or in a county parish mechanic a garage. You know, they are properly maintained periodically. That could be a responsibility of the parish councils, since they don't have much to do anyway. If you ask me, I think parish councils are underutilized. They're not effectively utilized. They just sit around collecting taxpayers'
taxes.
Money.
Yes.
And they're not farming in a
and
meaningful way.
They should be
way.
The source of power. They should be the source,
and they
source,
should
of,
be the
power.
Source of power. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You see, you mentioned something, you know, and it hurt my heart. In St. Bet here, we have the Red Cross have, I think, two ambulances. I'm not sure if it's two or one. And in the night, if you want to go to hospital, it suits you to call the Red Cross. And they will tell you, say, well, give us just money or give us something for maintenance. Right? Because the ambulance have to maintain. And if you come for you and carry to hospital and so on, you are sure to get the Red Cross ambulance than the, well, let's say the government ambulance to come for you.
That's a positive, right? Yeah, that's a positive. But the parish council needs then to partially fund the Red Cross in case somebody doesn't have the money. The parish council needs to have a budget for that to augment, to help out the Red Cross and to support them strategically, since they're doing community service. That could be one of the functions of the parish council, making sure people have access to bus and taxis to go to school and to work. That could be a focus of parish council meeting, where we thrash out what are some concerns, have open mic night, where people come up to the microphone and express their concerns. You give them 5 minutes. And then the council deliberate, and some of the concerns that they can talk about is transportation, public transportation, or the lack thereof, health transportation, health, you know, or the lack thereof, you know, another social whatever. You know, these are some of the topics that the parish councils should be really vested in tackling, because they address quality of life issues at the community, at the grassroots level.
You see, in 2003 to 2006, I was the parish development, what you call the parish development chairman for Sensibet. And your parish, it was Carl Jarrett, who was the chairman for St. James. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just showing you. And then Clarendon, it was Mr. Shaguri. So I'm just showing you the quote-unquote. I was the only person out of caliber dear, what you call Kalima, you know, big belly, brown skin.
Right.
Sorry
right.
to say.
I hear you, my brother. I hear you.
Yeah, it is still an important part of our history and sociology, right? And I was there with them, and we were looking at this whole local government reform. And one of the things we put forward that the mayor or the town governor or the parish governor should be elected straight by the people. The mayor now is elected by, are selected by the party that get the most vote. So for example, there's 15 councillors in St. Elizabeth, for example. So if 8 councillors is JLP, it is the JLP people elect a mayor. That is how it is done now. What we are saying is that we should find the best person in the parish who can do administrative work and govern it. We look at the talent to watch the candidate go up and the people vote for them. That was what we were talking about. But again, the Babylon system wouldn't want this because they still want to divide and rule
that
with the JLP, PNP.
That is what they're trying to do in Fort Moore.
Right, and you see, there are certain elements want to wipe out the Portmore experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there are certain elements want to wipe it out. I think that was an important step, and that's why you hear there certain elements want to say they want to turn Portmore into parish number 15. Right, but if you're gonna turn it to parish number 15. Portmore should have a hospital. Portmore should have proper police. Portmore should have proper school. Remember, say no. Portmore
is
the largest population.
Because at some point, even though they argue that Portmore has 200 whatever thousand, well, I don't know. I don't think it's 200,000 people. It really has. I think it's more like 100 and something thousand, but. They will have to also now start to think about Ocho Rios, you know, if not Negril, because as much as Portmore is a bedroom community for Kingston, a large one, Negril and Ocho Rios draw more money for Jamaica's economy in foreign dollars, I would argue, than Portmore.
True.
And they also would need
with smaller
kind of
population.
Governance.
Yeah.
Right. But, well, you know, here's where it becomes an interesting argument. When you say a smaller population, as you and I have discussed before, to the layman, to the ordinary man on the street, Negril might have, or to the government statistician, Negril might be said to have, all right, 5,000 permanent residents, I don't know, 10,000 permanent residents. But you have to also factor in, if you have over 100,000 tourists coming into Negril for the year, they do put pressure on the local government service delivery.
Yeah.
Infrastructure. Garbage to be collected and disposed of. Roads to be, supervised or maintained. Congestion, road congestion, road damage, pollution, you know, whatever, you know. There needs to be some coordination, of political coordination of that community, or for that community. So there could be an argument for a mayor of Ocho Rios, a mayor of Negril.
Of Negril, yeah.
Given the volume of business activity, tourism. You know, given the level of tourists, right? But I think what is confusing the Jamaican government is the culture of parish councils from slavery times. Because the parish council system that we are using right now is a legacy of colonialism.
Yeah.
They need to go and look at the North American model of how they organize political administrative space, incorporated versus non-incorporated space. But my concern with Portmore as a parish is that it does not have a critical mass, a tax base that is solid enough for autonomy. It's going to be linked to Kingston, as all the other parishes
yes.
are linked
mm-hmm.
to Kingston right now. It will not have any real autonomy, nor do I think it necessarily needs to have full autonomy in terms of funding itself, financing itself. Because when you use a small zone like Portmore as a tax base with a relatively weak population income, yes, a lot of them work in Kingston, a lot of them might be working in government jobs, but for you to tax them to do certain things in Portmore at the appropriate level, rate, they probably could not afford to pay the taxes. To be too high. You're still
yeah.
going to have to depend on Kingston funding. You're still going to have to turn to Kingston for funding. So the problem I have with going to these small units as the parishes is that you're giving up a lot of resources that you don't have to Kingston. But I'm going to have to get back to you on this. I have a very important call coming in. But we need to talk again on the need
yes.
to restructure the parishes into counties.
This is just part one. Thank you.
Part
for,
one.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank
so.
You. For, yeah,
so,
man. Love and honor.
Yeah, man.
Rastafari, bless up.
Rastafari, bless up.
Yes, sir. One love, peace to everybody
one love,
listening.
Peace.
And,
one love,
and
peace.
It's one Jamaica we are defending, and we are defending progress and betterment. All right.
Isis.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yeah, man. That's the man, Gary. Afi Whitaker. Bridging of mine. And him go mention the part we don't want to mention, because next thing what things are intellectual. We were students at UW. I think he met some professor over in the West Coast, United States of America. And, you know, we had interest in music because I used to lead one band, a roots reggae band, and he used to lead a rock reggae band. And later on, not today, but I'm going to play you some sugar music. Yes, I'm going to play you some sugar music, and I'm going to play you some of my, yes, my music with Iman singing, yeah, and sugar singing. You know, so you know that as the time rolls by, we will look back into the whole climatic change. But you know, I want to drop something nice, right? Yeah, I want to drop a brand new tune from a young lady called the Soul Rebel. You know?
Big tune. Big respect to Stingray Studio, Uncle Billy. So rebel. Just a minstrel, fill my song to you, I sing. So just a minstrel, in life we're so far apart. Royal king, I feel in your eyes.
Lady called the Soul Rebel. You know that Soul Rebel was the name that was given to the gangman in the early days of his career. You know, when just around the time when before he did the album like Catch a Fire and Burning, right at that transition, I'm talking about 1970-71. You know, when the dreadlocks, the afro transform into dread, naughty dread now, naughty dread, dreadlocks in a Congo. Right, when the dreadlocks start to transform, you know. So when a sister decided to call herself Soul Rebel, you know, it is a good step. You know, talking about the whole Soul Rebel, and I'm going back to the cat call thing, you know. I Sister Cherry, she's out there, and last week we were discussing hurricanes, disaster between Hawaii and California, where she was. And I'm going to preview it more next week or the other week when she's back. I'm going to preview some musicians that are coming out of the whole Hawaii experience. You know that there are some groups out there like Hoolpa groups. When you look at the Billboard charts, you realize that the music, the reggae music is still out there and doing well, doing extremely well. The pigmentation kind of look changed, but nothing wrong with that, because one world, one people, and reggae is a united force among world people. You go to a typical Bob Marley concert, 80%, what I would say, white. And most of the real roots reggae concert, even across the United States, we never mention Europe. I don't say Europe are white people. But most of the roots reggae concerts you go to across the states, it's white people. So white people support our music. The black American, one of the things Bob wanted to do, you know, was to how to cross over to the black American. The only Marley, me say, will achieve it, you know, and he's still young, he skipped Marley. But Bob, one of Bob's dream was to get that, to cross over. And I want to dedicate a program to some of the foreign-based reggae act that is putting out some good music, because over the week I've been really take time to really listen to them. And most Jamaican reader this jack, not big up certain people, you know. No man, they not big them up, because they know Jamaican. But good reggae music a play out there, and you find out that these brothers are really keeping up the market, because they are actually getting one big bad word to most Jamaican reggae act, you know. It's sales, because our dance hall and the scammer music people not really are selling out, you know. All they are see, all them are go by is how much people watch YouTube and TikTok. But when you find out that the reggae out of originators America, they are actually having their tours quietly and doing their shows. Some night I get 500 people, 1,000 people, and so on, and going from city to city, they have been doing extremely well. And there are some Jamaican acts that have caught up and in collaboration with these brothers, because my intention, if I go back out into music, and that's part of my intention, is to link up with these brothers, because at the end of the day, what I want is audience. But it seems like some of our brothers in the music business out here don't want any audience. So I have to big up group like the Loving Papas. Yeah, man, Roddy Thomas made that song popular, and I think Dabby Dobson, Loving Papas, where there's a group named the Loving Papas. Make me feel them and me go on with them. And me kind of like the effect what they make, the effect this group called Gentleman Dub Club. Me love what me hear from them. Right? Me also love, well, you see, Slightly Stupid, me love them long time. Because them have a kind of ska, rock, reggae kind of vibes. Same with Revolution. Right? Me kind of a guan with Sticky Figure. And you notice that Sticky Figure have just sat down on the American Billboard charts. They just sit down and then sit down and sit down. And even though a soldier would have won the Grammy, you know, here, you know, see, soldier really is on the chart per se. But this group, Sticky Figure, them a guan, them sit down on the charts up there. Right? So me respect and love what they're going on with. Then we have The Green. The Green up there. This group, I love. They have been around for some years. Groundation. And some older dreadlocks, older Rastaman them. But them are gone. They just did an album where I think they got one of the songs they have Israel Vibration in combination. And I think, I'm not sure, I don't remember if it's Abyssinians, right? But I love Groundation. There's also a group, kind of rock, poppish kind of reggae. The Black Seeds, they are going on. There's a lady called Christy Rock. We kind of appreciate, love her, right? Then there's this group, but I think they're mostly based in London. The Skinks, I can't pronounce the word, S-K-I-N-T-S. I don't want to cuss any bad word on the radio, you know. But I appreciate love what they're going on with. And again, the whole dub factor, because we seem to forget that there's a genre that man like King Tubby them, they push out. Even Philly Jammies push out, Carl Lee Perry. Winston Wholeness, the dub. But what we have, when you see a band putting out dub, John Brown Family. And if you ask the typical Jamaican Jack Dung Chose's Plat Up Here DJ, what dub is, they don't even know. And yet dub is part of the genesis of what we call dancers. Right? So I kind of appreciate, love those groups. When me just mention, who hope me not left out, none of them because me talk off of me top of my head. Right? But, and I like that, when me see is that some Jamaican artists now kind of a tour with them, like Rob Simeon, and most people don't hear about this youth, solid. Anyway, you're there, not the Kingston era, boss. Big up our manners and respect. Right? You're out there. And we watch you go on Martima, oh, Samurai, have a bad tune out near the rat. I go want drop that next week, right? Me love who me see a tour with them again. Loot and Fire, I work with them. Even the ancient Sister Carol. Out there work with these youth. You know the Protege and the Savannah and the leader Ike. You know them always have been working with them for a while. Chronix, it's a while now when I hear Chronix needs to drop some new tune, you know, because it's like him just gone silent. Jazzy, working with them as a female singer. Right? Naomi Cowan, man, that is Carlin Davis and Tammy Cowan's daughter. And there's a girl that I love. We're more to make her pick her up yet. Eva Lazarus. I think it is, she's produced by Rory from Stone Love. Me love when me see Agwan. You take Royal Blue. Black Hero, man. Black Hero, man. So, when am I going like say, reggae dead? Reggae not dead. What happened? It is the media, practitioner like us, that is stifling the roots reggae music. Right? And don't want to, you know, I am not against all these kind of format. But I think the youths, them want some help. So, you know, I will keep on playing the new music and kind of give them a little buzz. You know, and when I say buzz, I mean minibus. You notice that some dancehall songs don't have a beginning and don't have an end. I think any song, every song which is called a song, should have a beginning and an end. Althea Hewitt, yeah, formerly of the 4th Street Sisters, brand new song. Dean Weller, see it mashing up the Miami reggae charts and the New York reggae charts. This is a girl who has been out there for years singing, especially on the North Coast side. So the foreigners, they know her voice, right? You know, the North Coast are Negril. Here, Sugar mentioned Negril. Negril is where young artists used to go and cut them teeth. And Negril approved, so you can go tour a foreign when people were interested to go tour Europe and so on. I don't think most of these younger artists, what they call artists, me see a guy from YouTube got put up a bag of money in hand. And because of the robbery, a maneuver, make people start to think to him, I want the robber, and I boast with this whole plastic bag of money. And when things start jarring upon me, I say, now me a artist, me a artist, not artist, you know, me a artist. And I say, everybody nowadays want to call themselves artist, not artist, artist. And then going around like a cheap studio and make ping pong, from one little song. And then say, scam money, thief money, scam money, thief money. And then say, it's a big tune. Then go look on YouTube. And say, look on Rabbit Nose, new song, thief money. And then think them artists. Give them a show, no? Give them an opportunity to go overseas. Then turn them back to the stage. Then do all kind of foolishness. And plus, the market they are looking at do not understand the language. The market that they are looking at understand the reggae language, because the reggae language is universal. Now, I always believe that any good artist, whenever you're doing an album, you have to do a standard. You have to do something. You can't just put out just all of your original songs with all the markets there, and an album, you have to drop a cover. And I think most people was frightened when this particular artist dropped this cover. They say, Awagwan!
My
Yeah, man. The youngest veteran, Junior Gang, Davey and Marley. Excellent choice of song. George Harrison, My Sweet Lord of the Beatles. No, excellent movie. You know. You can imagine Junior Gang on a stage show and he drop about 3 or 4 songs and a gwan. In a crowd full of Europeans, a crowd full of white Americans. And just haul and pull and jam, My Sweet Lord. The whole stadium or arena or concert hall, I will start sing with him, you know, and rock with him. And you see when you reach at the guitar solo part, because you know, our European American people love instrumentation. You know, one of the things I find happening is that bands are becoming, Jamaican bands are becoming extinct. There were a time enough Jamaican bands are rolled out of Jamaica. Now, bands are becoming extinct. So, most people in those audience love to see like a guitar solo or a Dean Fraser step up on his sax or somebody blows up on the trumpet or a burning spear on his conga drum. Oh, by the way, Burning Spear have a brand new album just coming out. He's going to destroy you. Nearly destroy you. I've heard I'll get 1 or 2 tracks from the album. And we're going to drop that upon you. We'll make you hear it. Yes, we're going to... Because I've got set some trend on CRS here, you know. We hear some things first. Rootical music. We're going to set the trend on CRS radio here, you know, on the island chat. Yeah. And missing my baby. I don't know where she there. I hope she's not in the midst of the storm because she thinks that she can cool on hurricane. So I haven't heard anything from her since today. I don't know if she's in Florida, back from Hawaii, but she's somewhere out there trying to keep the organization of some relief from the aftermath of the hurricane. So big up, Cherry, anywhere you're there. And I have to start talk Cherry kind of language, you know, because it is 8:45 in Jamaica. Jamaica time, 8:45. We have 15 more minutes left on the show, Island Talk. So I and I are going to talk. Now, normally Cherry would be here talking about back to school and the donation of shoes. And most of you over there in the States, let me tell you something, is still our barefoot in Jamaica. And secondly, we don't have no shoe factory. One time we used to have in the 60s and 70s some things like Tarzan and butter shoes I make out here. We don't have any shoes factory anymore. Because with the Higglers, people they stop by things that look kind of Jamaican and I go foreign. So most of the shoes that come in, 80-90% of the shoes that come to Jamaica is through Barrels and through Higglers. And at times, these Higglers are unaware of especially children's shoes. Right, well, the different size, because you know you have Jamaican shoe size and American shoe size and you have Chinese kind of shoe size. So when she come back, she gonna push more about the shoes thing, because next week in Jamaica school start. But when we want to talk to you about still school, but my book. Yeah, they'll go out of door library. Let me call it out of door library. Now, I am thinking starting these two out of door library. Not my hometown of Junction. I want to put it one of the out of door library right outside B.B. Cook High School. Now, this is a high school in the sense of it that have been now going through leaps and bounds. Once, they were having problem with even the reading and writing and arithmetic. Students now are coming in and transforming from 7th grade. Some could hardly read by 8th, 9th grade. They are reading and doing well. And that's one of the reasons I really want to beg books. And I know that some of you have some books at home that you finish reading and that take up space. Or you have children finish high school or university. Send the books them. We were trying to specify, but I'm starting out to specify. What I want, ladies and gentlemen, especially if you can have Black American, I want Black American books. Because I know a person has a book, them come, I will go read them first and then put them out. Because guess what happened? Our children out here not reading anything Black. And I know that there's a lot of Black American authors. But they're putting out books for teenagers, for young adults, etc. Both fiction and non-fiction. These students to learn about themselves are people looking like them. But we're tired to see, I hear about Shakespeare and Hitler and Mussolini and Bismarck and those kind of guys. And Nelson. Pirates, I can't repeat that as all of these pirates. Henry Morgan, we want to hear about people that look like ourselves. I'm sure a lot of our youths, they are not even aware of the first national hero, Marcus Garvey, and the role he played out there. And you have some real good American heroes like C.M. Obama, yeah, accept him as a hero. Malcolm X. My virgin, that man, my personal hero, right? By any means necessary. Yes, the cool man was Martin Luther King. And there are several other heroes out there, right? Some of these books, right, they need to even appreciate even rappers like Tupac and Big Small, who yes, died violently, but they set trend and they had their space. So if you have any of those books, what I'm going to arrange with Cherry when she come back, what I found out, ladies and gentlemen, that it is cheaper that you send it by what I call senior mail. So what I do, I have a box address. We're going to set up in a way Cherry know if we do the thing online. I don't know. I'm going to give you like my address. I have a post office box. And you can just send the books in. Because people have sent me books for my children, like 10 or 20 used books. And when I go to the Jamaican Post Office, I don't pay a cent to clear it. So I don't have to go and worry that way about custom and clearing it. Yes, when you send it by Amazon, I also have an Amazon address, but I don't have to pay money to clear it. And money is very hard in Jamaica right now. And then figure, well, to clear the book, to give it away or to use it as a library, and it's not basically personal, it's kind of rough, right? But so I want you to think about getting the books then, put them in some little box, so you can send me like a 10 old book or a 15, you can pack them in a little box and you post it. But I'm going to give you that address. Now one of the things that Cherry was looking about is a design for these outside library. I see she have a wicked design with some glass and boards, so a cover waterproof, and like I would put it outside. I have a nice gate space outside my gate and the sidewalk. I put it there, so if a child or a young adult want a book to read, and come sign you out, left in phone number, right, and read a book. Because the library normally not open every day, but this library will open 24 hours. So I'm going to put that at my gate, and I'm going to put the other one at the BB Cook school, because I have spoken as a board member. I put it the matter to the board, and when it comes to certain textbooks, because we're going to ask for some textbooks that your children might have and throw away, but we're going to ask for certain textbooks, like for books on physics, electronics, geography, chemistry, biology, books, especially on reading, most reading, because as I say, I want the student to start to read. It, with this digital divide, what is happening is that the children are more caught up looking at the face and screen of their tablets and their telephone, and they're basically not reading. It's 8:55 Jamaican time. So, you know, I forgot. Well, go on, Jesus.
The heartbeat on the road, on the road. Open up the heavens of
Yeah, man, groundation with Israel vibration. That Jap them styler dedicated to the man called Hopetown Brown who coming on next. Yeah, man, who give me the vibes and we keep the vibes going. My virgin Sugar Whitaker, we give the vibes. I'm so big up my daughter Indira who going back to university. My son Matthew, who have been very successful in his examination, want to go to university, but we don't know how we are going to manage sending two children at the same time to do engineering. You know, and boy, I tell you, the struggle is real, Panirakia. You know, we have to go plant some little trees, maybe that we have to go do. But we have to go medicinal, then we are there. But the permit is another thing. That's how the thing swing. Hopetown Brown, line up on your musical machine. Because you know, say you're mean. Mean rhythm will come down from Hopetown Brown, the talk of the town. Ain't no clown. It all come around. Every time we hear the sound of Island Chatter, you know, so we're not rat bat. And we're not slim, we just fat. So big up. Cha-la-la-la-la. Where is it? Cherry. Well, I've been a year for Cherry since night. I hope you see a fan sound. You know, as I work some Yankee dollars or English pound. Anyway, you're there, you know. So, Island Chat. Now watch no face. Just rock to the music of drum and bass. Big up to my Virgin Marlon Wright. And big up to Richie Innocent, original DJ and poet. Yeah, man, every time. Big up to Jennifer Alvaranga, somewhere up in the Mid-States. Danette Parchment. Yeah, the lady who, when the book is coming out, she going to the editing, you know. Big up to the Empress Sandra about the place for my intolerance and making nice in the house on a Wednesday night. You know, Hopetown Brown, yeah, the talk of the town. Read him up. Peace and love. Right on 9 o'clock hour, Jamaica time. 9 o'clock. Here's a wash thing in here. I'll
burn them out here. Thank you. I want to give you a little bit of that. And he said, you want to go through? And you can't get me guess then. Right? Sorry.
Do you know any figure of any,
or you know how much people are? I don't know. That's the thing. With Marlon.
No, Marlon.
We don't know with Marlon. Right. And you see, that's the whole thing now with this. I can't do the subject. Tell me what me tell you. Most forget what she actually to me. Tell you. Give me the virtual experience. So you can say, you know, it's going to come to life rather than ask her. And I see. And you know, I Thank you.
Mr. God, my friend God sent me one text today. And him a labor right. And apparently, he meet some labor right politician today. And he said, me say, it was disgusting. And he said, the JP is dead. But I said to myself, yeah, learn. We not say dead long time. But you may have one friend. Frank the Maki with a meet number. And she did want me to go. I said, no, some of them places. So who gonna talk about your road? I said, I got a political meeting. You never catch me there. So she said that I like politics. she go and meet me. Okay. When she come back, she say, what a garbage. I mean, I say, mm-hmm, you labor right. And you call the labor right, them garbage. Because what they are saying to the people now don't make no sense. That is the problem. You make 1 cent. No, ma'am, I hear you.
I don't think you're alive. You must be in a conversation with a big woman over conduct business.
Thank you.
You understand me?
Yeah.
So, we need to listen now. I'm reaching a stage of my life, so I'm prepared. Might as well, before we help somebody make them think big, we're not doing it now. I have no intention to help her anymore. Because even when you get an ask back in the day for her in the station, I'm not going to make any improvement on her station. So guess what? She's alright, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, may I say you take on that, or you take on that, my Richard. You take on that, you take on. I mean, that's the same thing for me.
Let me say, one thing you know, she's not getting back this laptop.
You get back that, then you're not going to come, you know, let's go on the way I do.
Mm-hmm.
That is a plan of life for everything, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because I can't do it. Spoke to her this evening, say, when me and she done talk, and all of a sudden, she just turn up her yard, carry laptop, carry this, and say, can I go give him? Right. Can you see? She see where she did want. Now we already prove where we supposed to prove already, you know. We said to hope that if you come to the test, we bargain, me barter. Because I said, I might want something for my children. And I said, all right, instead of send money, just send such and such for me. Right? But me can see the other Wednesday, we drive on bus tire, we try to come here, we interview, we do a show. So, it's a minute. Anyway, boss, I'm going to look for some food here. All right, cool. Yeah, me hear that by something say something happened at Gabon this evening.
Yeah, and we're watching, I wish to say all of these leaders, all of these black people who are leaders in Africa, continue to make their own people suffer. That family has been ruling from 67, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And only him and his family and his friend have been sick. I don't care. Then what a difference are going to make, I think, in our politicians are enrich themselves. It is enrichment.
Sir. Yes, sir, we talk.
Mm-hmm.